Morning. Good to see everyone out this morning. Welcome each one to New Harmony Baptist Church. We've got a lot of people still traveling on vacation, so remember them, that they stay safe. And the ones that are sick, we have many still sick and in the nursing homes and different places and rehab places, getting rehab for surgeries and different things. And remember Miss Abigail Johnson? She fell Friday and had to go to the emergency room, and she is at home, but she is, I was going to go see her yesterday, and her daughter said she was real tired and didn't feel like company, so we'll try to see her today. So y'all be much in prayer for her as she continues to recover from that fall. Do we have any prayer requests that I haven't mentioned? I ask you to remember Bible school as it's coming up next week, and looking forward to a great Bible school. And most everyone that I'm in contact with has already had theirs this year. Each one of them has had real good Bible school, so I'm praying that we'll have the same and that God will bless in each one of them. And I ask you to remember us as a church as we continue to go forward this year and excited about some things that God's laid on our mind. And I ask you to be much in prayer for each one of us as we do what it is that God has us to do. We don't have any other prayer requests. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then our singers will come forth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. God, we ask that you touch us this morning in a special way. God, each family in here has family that are sick. We have family with problems. Just Lord, we know you're the answer to all of them. And God, we got many people traveling this weekend and on their way home or out to vacation or different things. And God, we ask that you bring them back safely. Lord, we have those that are in nursing homes and rehab facilities and hospitals, and God, we ask you to touch them in a mighty way. And Lord, as a church, we have been really touched this year with sickness, and Lord, we know that your way is perfect. We don't question it, but God, I know sometimes it's hard for us to understand, but Lord, I ask you, give us the strength and understanding as much as we can to realize that you're in control and that nothing is out of your hands and that the good works for those that love you. Father, I pray this morning, there's one here that doesn't know you, God, that I ask your Spirit would draw them. And Lord, that you would prick that heart. And Lord, that they would say yes. Father, we ask you to go with us through the funds of this service. God, be with our singers. We ask we sing and praise for no other reason than honor and glorify the name of Jesus. For in his name we ask it. Amen.
Let's stand and join us in our call to worship.
Thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers. Answers only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am.
You are perfect.
so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love of your good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. Same to you.
Good
morning. She'll have everything painted up in the whole house, won't she?
Yeah.
Made some pretty stuff in Cayman Islands. Yeah.
Not as pretty as here.
No, nothing like home, are they? Morning, Wormy. Where you been? Sleeping?
Words and
Christ.
Again, good to see everyone out. You know, I know we're missing a good many this morning, but let's not let it hinder us. And the Lord has done something that hasn't happened many times I've been preaching. He's changed my sermon right there, right then. Well, Corey, that time you put in is wasted. Throw it out the window. We're going to go old-fashioned this morning. Get your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter 15, this is... I should have started off with wishing everyone a happy Father's Day, and sometimes things slip my mind, but I'd like to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day. If you still have your father, give them a hug today. Tell them you love them, you're thankful for them, because you don't know how long you'll get to enjoy them here, because time is fading fast, and if things go on, we all know that death comes to each one of us, but thank God for a hope we have of seeing them one day. And this morning, as I was sitting there, and y'all began singing, and I have learned one thing. I am a slow learner, but I've learned to listen to God. Amen. And he began putting on my mind this morning, as y'all was singing, about the best father that we could ever have, of course, is him. There's never a better one. He is always there. He's got outstretched arms. And guess what? Even when we leave him, he allows us to come back. Amen. He allows us to come back. Some of y'all that has parents, or that is parents, you may remember a time when you had to come back to mom and daddy, and we've all seen it, and hey, mom and daddy's got their arms open, and doors are always open to receive us back, and thank God. But this morning, there's a story about a prodigal son, and Luke chapter number 15, began reading in verse number 11, and this is preached many times about the son, but the Lord's laid on my heart this morning to preach about this father. To preach about what a father it was to have given his everything he had to his son, and then his son went out and wasted it all and spent it all, and he received him back. Boy, what a story this morning. Now listen, this is a parable. We know that if you've been to, studied much scripture, studied much theologically, you'll know that doctrine is not gotten from parables. That's not where we get our doctrines. And there's people that look at this story in two different ways. Some people think that this son was a lost sinner come back to God, and I believe that could be possible. But I also believe it's a saved sinner who gets out and so far away from God, he don't think he can come home, but God tells him the doors is open. And I've got to read the scripture. I'm going to go without it. It said, verse number 11 says, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me a portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And many days after, the youngest son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there was his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine, did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Father, we thank you for this word today. God, we thank you for your scripture and what they mean to us. And God, we ask you to be in the midst of this service, Lord, as you have changed my heart, my mind at the last moment. God, I know you're faithful to bless, and Lord, I ask you to touch in a mighty way this morning. There may be somebody here under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you. They felt the drawing of the Holy Spirit. They know it's time to make a decision, but for pride or some other reason, they just won't come. And there may be one here that's afar off. They may have been saved and gotten to a far country, and because of riotous living or anything, they've wasted all they had, and they think that it's over and there's no chance. But God, we thank you that you've got open arms for us. And God, we ask you to bless this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I began thinking about that, and as that father there, he had worked all of his life to gain what he had. And boy, me and you today, we have a father the Bible teaches is the owner of a cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns everything, and everything he has, he made. He spoke it into existence, and he can make more if he chose to. But this God has everything. And listen, of all he had, nothing's more precious than his only begotten son. And this only begotten son he gave freely so that we, as when the Spirit of God draws us, we can receive that son, and we can have eternal life. And what a thankfulness it is that he offers that to me. Now listen, my father, my earthly father, I think I was given one of the best ones on the earth. If you ever knew my dad, I only heard him say one bad word in his whole life. I'm not going to tell you what that was, but I'll give you this hint. My mother had made him mad. But listen, I had one of the best fathers I think you could ever have. He worked all the time. I've seen him going to work, throwing up and sick and all this. And he has never, not one time in his life, tried to give me and Stephanie marital advice. He's never done anything. He would never say a word. You always knew if he didn't agree with you. He would bow his head and just shake his head no. But he would never open his mouth. He'd never done this. But God gave me one of the best earthly fathers I think you could have. But listen, and as good as he is, that earthly father, he fails and he makes mistakes. And he comes short, but listen, and the best father I've ever had is the father eternally we have, and which is God Almighty. And how great it is to know that I'm a child of the King. The Bible teaches us that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we could have no better father than him. You remember when you was in grade school, and somebody used to say something to you, and you'd say, well, my dad can fix that, or we would break something, and we could say, my dad can fix that, or I can go home to daddy, and he knows exactly what to do to that thing. Is it not great to know the day that we have a Heavenly Father, that anything that falls apart in our life, we can carry to him and say, here it is, Daddy, what you think you can do with this? And he can just speak, or he can just think, and the whole problem is solved. But this man, as great a father as he was, he had two sons. He had worked all of his life to gain this. I believe he wanted to see those sons prosper. I believe he wanted to see those sons have a good life. And he had put up this inheritance for them. So one day, this younger one come in. He said, Daddy, I've had enough of this life here. I've had enough of this farming or whatever they was doing. I've had enough of this. I've had enough of the family business. I've had enough of living in your home. And now I know better than you do. How many of us parents have ever heard that? We know better than you do. It's time for me to go on my own. I tell you what I want to do, Daddy. I want you to give me all that's mine, and I'm going to go about my way. And listen, do you realize how much, those of y'all that's children, y'all don't know this yet, but you know how much that father had to love that son to give him what he wanted and allow him to go. That was a great love that we don't think about this morning. He knew what was going to come to this young boy. He knew what was going to happen as he got out into the world. He knew that at some point this child would come home. The Bible teaches us that you raise up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. They may get out into the world. They may stray away. But according to the word of God, they will return. And what love he had allowing that child to return unto him and allowing him to go so he could return. And the Bible says that many days after that, he gathered all together and took his journey. I want to tell you something. I have, even as a child of God, and listen, I believe with all my heart today that Jesus saved me that day on that second pew at Concord Baptist Church. But I want to admit something to y'all. There's been times in my life that I've taken all that he's given me, and I've went into a far country. I have went away from my Heavenly Father. And if you're here this morning, you're saved. Unless you're a liar, you have done the same thing. You have went out to a place you know you don't need to be. You've done things that you don't need to be doing. And listen, we get out of our minds sometimes. The Bible plainly teaches that sometimes we just simply lose our mind. You say, well, you must be, I don't know why you do that. I'm a pretty sane person. My friend, I believe this morning that everybody here is crazy in some way. You may not be certified, but I believe we all crazy. And we all sometimes have to do what this young man did. And he went into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Boy, how many of us as God's children this morning has wasted what he's blessed us with? We've wasted everything he's given us. We've wasted the talents he's given us. We've wasted the time he's given us. You realize how special this time is. Hey, the time that God's given you to work and to serve him is more precious than all the money this father could have given this young boy. Because listen, our service to him, that's what the message was supposed to have been about this morning. Our service to him is the most important thing we have. That's the only thing we can give back to God. So this young man, he went and he wasted it all on riotous living. Now he looked that up. What does that mean? He went out, he enjoyed the liquor, he enjoyed the drugs, he enjoyed the women, he enjoyed the things of the world. He didn't spare anything, brother. He was rich while he had it. If his buddies wanted to drink with him, he paid for it. If he wanted this girl, he would pay for it. If he wanted that, he would pay for it. He had a lot of money at this point, and nothing held him back. He was living a righteous life. He was having a good time. And those eyes of you that's more self-righteous than me, you'll say there's no way that you can be happy in sin if you belong to God. I want to tell you something this morning. That is a lie of the devil. There has been many men who has enjoyed sin after they knew the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. How do I know this? Because I've read about them and I've experienced it myself. The Bible tells us that there is pleasure in sin for a season, but the end of that thing is death. There's pleasure in affairs, but you know what the end of it is? It's the death of a marriage. There's pleasure in drugs for a season. If it wasn't, people wasn't doing it. But what it is, it's the death of a life. It can cost you everything. There's pleasure in alcohol for a season, but the end of it is an alcoholic dad or alcoholic mother who cannot take care of children, and it is fun for a while, or people wouldn't do it. Listen, you got to use your common sense sometime and realize that this sin stuff can be fun, but it's death. But he went out. Oh, he had a good time. And it said there come a famine in that land. Hard times come. Listen, I'm not very old. I'm 40. I'll be 44 in July. And I look and I see people who is way older than me. And I hear them talk. And by their talk, they don't know the Lord. And I begin thinking, how has this people made it without God? I couldn't have made it my little short life without Jesus. I don't know how other people do. But here a famine came. Hard time come in him. And he's going to figure out what to do. He had always had daddy to lean on. He had always had daddy to pick him up. He had always had daddy to feed him. And daddy to provide for him. This young boy didn't know what hard times was. My children don't know what hard times are. There's been times we didn't have money to buy them the car they wanted or go on the vacation they wanted. But my friend, most of us in this room have never been hungry. We don't know what hard times are. But listen, hard times come to this young man. When I say hard times, I mean he didn't have nothing to eat. He didn't have nothing to drink. He was poor. He didn't have a single thing. And a famine was in the country even. And he decided he's going to have to do something that he had never done before. He got to get a job. He's got to get a job. Listen here. When he spent all the rows of mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want, or he began to be in need. This want is not the want of wanting the same stuff he started out buying with all of his money. This want is he needed something to eat. He needed some clothes to wear. He needed the necessities of life. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Boy, is that not just life? This is why I believe that this can be preached to us that has got away from God. Because we go join ourselves to a citizen of that far country. And when we get out of the house of God, you know where we run? We run to those that don't know God. We don't want to be around God's people. We don't want to be in God's house. We sure don't want to hear a preacher preach. We don't hear a Christian song sing. We distance ourselves from everything. I can't tell you at the time, and I'll just be honest with you today, I can't tell you at the time, sometimes I wish I could just go back to a far country. And you do too. The children of Israel wish they could go back to Egypt because they enjoyed life over there in Egypt. They was away from God, but they began to get comfortable with it. Listen, there's this young boy. He enjoyed being where he was. He joined himself to that of a far country, and he sent him to his fields to feed swine. This is what happens when you get away from God. This is what happens when you separate yourself from God's people and God's work. You wind up, listen, the worst thing a Jewish boy could do was be around a hog. The worst thing he could do is be in the vicinity of a pig or be around where he could smell a pig. He wouldn't eat no bacon. He wouldn't eat no sausage. He could not, because of their dietary laws and Jewish beliefs, he couldn't be anywhere around pork. And what did this thing do? This sin that he left the father, he began living all this way, and bless God, he wound up connecting himself to somebody of that far country. He had to have a job. This fellow said, all the job I got for you is feeding the pigs. And guess what he had to do? He had to do what he had to do. He had to go feed the swine. And this Jewish boy, of all the places he could wind up, he wound up in a hog pen. My friend, this morning, you as a Christian, I want to tell you, according to this word, and this word is the word of God, you can wind up back in a hog pen. God has brought you out. God has cleaned you up. But because of your sinful nature and sinful desires, you can run back to the hog pen, and you can find yourself feeding swine. You can find yourself living with the hogs and living at a place you don't belong. How many of you as Christians have ever opened your eyes and say, I don't belong here? I have. I'll tell you a little story. One time, I was at this, me and Stephanie had been married too long. My buddy come got me. We was going to go out that night and have a good time, shoot pool and different things. Went to this, I'll just say what it was. It was a bar in Anniston down there. We was shooting pool, and I got to thinking about something. I went in there, and it was solid dark. There wasn't a light on that place. And Stephanie don't even know about this. It's not. She scared me to death. She'll know about it in a minute. But I was there. And we went. And boy, nobody knew I was there. Not a soul. But I got to looking around and it was dark. It was dark. I thought, why don't they turn the lights on in here? Because listen, them places always stay dark because nobody wants to be seen doing that stuff. And listen, we done that. I didn't do nothing real bad there. But listen, I come home. Boy, I felt bad the whole time I was there. I lifted my eyes up in that dark place and said, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. I belong at home with my family. I believe I belong at home with God. And here I was. And I opened my eyes. I thought I had got away with it. And I walked in the house. I changed my clothes. I done everything. Boy, nobody was going to do anything. Thing had happened. I walked into the bathroom. About that time, Stephanie jumped out and said, boo. She had parked her car behind the house and was hid. And I was caught. But before that, I opened my eyes in that place and I said, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. He would have fain filled his husk with his belly with a husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him nothing else. Listen, those people knew the Jewish beliefs. That guy that owned those hogs, he knew what this boy was doing was against what he had been raised. He knew this was against his laws. He knew it was against everything. But nobody offered him anything else. If he was going to eat, he was going to eat out of the same trough that the hogs eat out of. Now listen, I want to tell you something. This man lived with the hogs. He did. He lived with the hogs. He was at a point where he was about to eat the husk the hogs eat. He was about to act like a hog. He was about to do everything that a hog did. But my friend, I want you to see something. You're going to see this as we go further in this scripture. There's not a single time in this story that this young boy is ever called a hog. He's always called a son. Never is he called a hog. He was living with the hogs. He is living in a hog pen, but never did he become a hog. I love this verse 17. And when he came to himself, y'all, I have been places out of the will of God, and all of a sudden, you may be in your bedroom, you may be outside, you may be somewhere, and all of a sudden, guess what happens? You come to yourself. You think, what in the world am I doing? There's a guy who wrote a book by the name of Kyle Alderman. He calls it the aha moment. Yeah, there's a book called that. If you ever find it, read it. It's a great book. He's a pastor in Kentucky. But he says in this book, it's the aha moment. It's the moment that you get it. That you realize you're not where you're supposed to be and doing what you're supposed to be doing. This young man was in a field with a swine. He was feeding the pigs. And he was worried about what he was going to eat. And in all this strife, and he was down to the very bottom. You've heard those saying, at rock bottom, you'll figure out what the rock is or who the rock is. And the rock is Jesus Christ. But he was away from him. And at the lowest point in his life, the Bible says, he came to himself. He realized, I'm a son of the king. I'm a son of that man over there that has all that cattle. I'm a son of that man over there who has all that land. I'm a son of that man who has all that money, who has all those things. He is my daddy. And listen, I don't know if he'll take me back or not, but one thing I know, boy, Scott, this will make you run. One thing I do know is that I'm his son. He said, I'm not that man's son who's got me with a hog pen. I'm not that man's son who I gave all my money to. Bless God. He said, I'm that man's son who's got all that money, and I just believe that he'll take me back. Listen to what he said. He said, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants have my father's has got? Oh, he must have had a bunch of servants. I believe he began counting them. There's old what's his name over there. There's him and him. And you know what? I bet you today that not a one of them is eating with a swine. Not a one of them is eating anything. I bet you they're around my father's table. I bet you they're eating bread. And I bet you their bellies are full. And they're not wondering where food is coming from. They got plenty to eat. And here I am. Hey, they're just a hired servant. They're not even a son as I am. And here I am in the hog pen. And I'm starving to death. Listen, church. There's those of us this morning who are God's children. We're God's son. We've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and bless God, we've gotten out into the hog pen, and just today may be the day that we come to ourselves, that we wake up. What am I doing here? I'm starving to death spiritually. I'm in a spiritual place where I can't feel God no more. I don't talk to God no more. I don't interact with God. And what in the world am I doing here? I don't belong to this place. I'm a son. The servants have plenty to eat. I'm starving to death. What in the world am I doing here? Begins talking to himself in verse 18. People began thinking he was crazy if it had been around him. I believe he was saying under his breath, or he may have been even speaking loudly. He said, I will arise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now listen, the Bible plainly teaches the first place we have to go to get back with God is confession. If you're here today and you know without a shadow of doubt that you've been saved, but you have strayed away from God, or you may be here and you've never been saved, you've never known him, but you feel that pull upon your life, that you feel he is drawing you to himself. The Bible says that's the time to say yes. That's the time to give in to what God is receiving. He's warning you. And listen, he says, I will arise, go to my Father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee. The Bible says, and if I think it's 1 John, if we confess our sin, he's just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then that son can be what he's supposed to be again. He could be a son. I'll arise, go to my Father. Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Now, I want to tell you something. This is one of the lies that keeps most people from repenting and coming back to God. And I want to say something right here and stop. Some people say, well, this is proof that you can lose your salvation in this story. Because the man was a son, that's why I want to tell you up front, never at a point was this boy called a hog. He was still a son. He was still a son. This is not a story about a boy who lost his salvation, because you're about to see where the Father restores him. He says, Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You see, the one thing we must do is become humble before God. You cannot be saved till you realize you're a sinner. You cannot come back to God till you realize you're away from him. And sometimes God has to send us something to wake us up and to shake us and let us know that we're in a place we don't belong. He says, Father, he said, I'm going to go to my daddy. And I believe he had a wrong vision of his father. And that this is put there by the enemy. This is put there by the world. This is put there by the devil even. He tells us, well, you have messed up now. You are no more any good. You have done this, this, and this. You can't work in the church no more. You can't do this thing. You can't do that thing. You might as well stay with the hogs because you're no good anymore. And he said, you might go back to your father, but guess what? No longer will you be able to teach. No longer will you be able to preach. You won't be able to do this. You won't be able to do that. Boy, you are done. You might as well stay away. And if you do go back, well, maybe, just maybe, you can be a hired servant and not a son. My friends, he was always a son. And he arose. You see, there has to be action. Faith without works is dead. You're not saved by the works. The works is evidence of the salvation. He put something into action. He arose. I want to tell you something. You can lay down there in the hog pen. You can pray all day long. If it's God's will, he may send somebody to the hog pen and jerk you out. But the chances are you got to put a foot forward. You got to step out of the hog pen. You got to step towards the Father. The moment he arose, he was returning to the Father. The moment he stepped forward, stepped out of that first step out of the hog pen, then he was restored. Can you imagine him on the way home? Can you imagine his mind? What's going to happen? Oh, when I get home, I'm going to have to go find Daddy. I'm going to have to see if I can find where Daddy's at. I'll go to one of them servants and I'll say, have you seen my daddy? I'll go back there and I'll say, preacher, can you point me to my father? And listen, people want to talk all the time and people just can't get this. Listen, I appreciate if you want to talk to me. I'll talk to you any way I can. But listen, if you've been saved today, you have a direct access to the Father. You don't have to go to a preacher. You don't have to go to a pastor. You don't have to go to a deacon. Bless God, when Jesus was crucified, the veil of the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom and then you was given access to the Father. No longer do you have to come and hunt somebody that can get in touch with God for you. You have direct access to the Father. He arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Listen, y'all. God ain't sitting there saying, I wonder if he's coming back. I wonder what he's going to do. God is in control of everything. He can control anything he wants to. He knows even the intents of your heart. This father knew one day his son was going to come home. The Bible don't say this, but I believe that father would go out every day, look down the road and say, I wonder if today's the day. I wonder if he'll come home. Now listen, our Heavenly Father don't have to wonder. I'm talking about this earthly father. He would say, I wonder if he's coming home today. Boy, today might could be the day. How many of you parents has ever wondered if that son would come back today? If he's out in the world, away from God, today might be the day. Listen, I've heard parents pray in the altar for their children who is away from God. And they call out and say, I wonder if he'll come back today. Oh, I wonder if he'll come back today. Listen, if this father wasn't looking for the son, how the world did he see him a great ways off? A great way off, he saw him coming. Saw him coming. And had compassion and ran. Boy, what compassion God has on us. Mercy and grace to run to us. Listen, the Son wasn't running to him. He was running to the Son. He was running after the Son. I see all these people that say, I've read about them where they teach their young people you need to be a God chaser. You know this, my friend, you can chase God all you want to. He chases you. He's the one who does the chasing. He ran. Listen, I studied this before. Do you know that running in that day was something an old man did not do? If I'd have lived in the Jewish culture, if I'd lived back then, that jogging I do in the evening would have been even crazier than it is today. You did not run. It went against dignity. It was something you did not do. So this man, he threw off everything that people had always taught him not to do. He threw off every belief he'd ever had. All he knew that his son was returning and he was ready to embrace him. And the Bible says he had compassion, number one. Then he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. A sign of love. A sign of affection. He loved. Now I want you to think about this. Boy, this will make you shout. Imagine what that boy smelled like. How many of us had said, today I'm going to get my life straight and I'm coming back to the Father. I can't come back like I am now because I stink. I've been involved in this sin. I've been involved in that sin. They'll know exactly what I've been doing because it's all over me. I'm going to get cleaned up a little bit. Then I'll come home. If you'll read this story, The Bible don't say that he left the hog pen and went and got a shower. It don't say he left the hog pen and went and bought new clothes. The Bible says he arose and ran to the Father. Arose and came to the Father. Still as stinky as he was in the hog pen. Father didn't stop and say, whoa, wait a minute. He wasn't like me. I get on my girls all the time about not smelling like I do. I just embarrassed him real good. He didn't say, wait. Go clean up, then you can come home. He ran, he grabbed him around the neck, and he kissed him. And all of his sin and all of his nastiness embraced him. The Son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the Father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You know what he did in this place? He restored him back to the same place, maybe even better than he was before he left. That ring was a signet. Listen, you know what the ring meant? In that day, a lot of people couldn't write. This boy might could because he was rich. But in that day, a lot of people couldn't write. So on that ring was a signet that they would use for a signature. You know what that would say? What that signature said? Proved he was a son of the Father. And it was on his hand. At that moment, he could legally stamp a document again, the same place he could before he left home. It represented a family. Father told the servants, he said, go get him the best robe, go get him a ring, go get him some shoes. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. How many of y'all that's got grown children have stayed awake at night and worried? If they don't call, first thought come to their mind, maybe they're gone, maybe something's happened to them. Maybe there's this. Maybe they're gone. How many of y'all's had children or grandchildren who's been away? From you hadn't saw them in a couple years, maybe, or maybe a year. You begin thinking, oh, I'm never going to see them again. I wonder if they're ever coming back. And then the joy that's filled when you see them to return. Me and you, we don't know how to be a good father. We don't understand how to be a good father because we don't have the love that our Father has. If we're saved, we're supposed to have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, but because of our nature, a lot of times we have the sin so built up in us that we can't allow God to work through us. We can't be what God calls us to be. We just can't understand. But listen, let me tell you what we do know as a father. The Bible says that us being an earthly father, if a son asks for bread, we don't give him a snake. We give him bread. Jeremiah comes to Terry and asks for a meal. Terry's going to give him a meal. Terry's not going to hand him a rock and say, do the best you can do. He's going to give him the best meal he can give him. He's going to give him something that nourishes him. He's going to give us something that strengthens him, that makes his well. But oh, how much more does our Heavenly Father care for us? I know God had a reason for changing my mind. On Father's Day, go see your earthly dad and love on him and do all you can for him. But I want to challenge you to do one thing. Come back to him. I'm talking about the Heavenly Father. If you know today, number one, if you are not saved and you know that God is dealing with you, you know that He is calling you, I encourage you to say yes. You may be here. You may have been saved for 50 years. You may have been saved for 40 years. But you know that you haven't been where you're supposed to be. And at times in your life, and maybe even today, you're in the hog pen. You're in the hog pen. I want to encourage you today and let you know that you're not a hog. You're a son. Scripture tells us about adoption. We've all been adopted into the family of God. It says we're no more, not only are we people of God, we've become sons of God. And as sons of God, we've been given an inheritance. That young boy blew his inheritance, I know that. But the Father restored him. Are you in the hog pen this morning? As we stand. If you're in the hog pen, would you please come home? But I want to tell you something. All the sermons I can preach in the world is not going to make you come home. What's going to happen is when the Spirit pricks that heart, opens your eyes, and you come to yourself. Did you realize that it said He come to Himself? At salvation, we're made a new creature. Made a new creature, a new self. He was living for the old self, but in the hog pen and when in the starvation, in all the nastiness, His eyes were open. He came to the true self. Today God is wanting to open your eyes, let you see it's time to come home. For too long have you been feeding the hogs. You don't belong with hogs. You belong with the Father. Would you come today? If you've never been saved, I encourage you, say yes to the best choice. God's mercy and grace loves you enough to call you out. Would you just turn loose? What a better gift you could give Him on Father's Day. We all buy our gifts in our weak way and give to our earthly fathers and try to show them how much we respect them and honor them. But we honor our Heavenly Father when we serve Him. When we're right with Him. You ever had a little altercation with your earthly father? For a few days you didn't want to see him. You didn't want to talk to him. But oh, how good it was when all that was gone. The thing about earthly fathers, as close as we can know to God's love, they forget that stuff. Yeah, I can't remember all the bad things my kids have ever done because they'll do more today. And we'll remember it for a few minutes and it'll be gone because that's an unfailing love, unconditional love. Would you come home today?